So how many of you guys have seen Forrest Gump? Oh, look at that. You're good people. I knew I liked you for a reason. All right, so here's the deal. This is the month, February, right? And you all know what happens in February, right? What comes in February? It's on the 14th. Okay, lots of fun things. Football, I'm sure, is wonderful. But we're talking about Valentine's Day here, gentlemen. Seriously, we got some work to do. Okay, anyways, so February, we've got Valentine's Day. I walk into Super Target with my four-year-old daughter, okay? I mean, that if there's any kind of person you want to keep as far away from Valentine's Day as possible, it is your four-year-old daughter, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she shouldn't know what Valentine's Day is until she's 45. And so we walk into Target, and we're walking down the aisle, and she literally looks at me and goes, "Daddy, is it Valentine's Day?" I mean, I hadn't even thought about it. I look down, and I'm like, first of all, how do you know what that is? Who told you? I'm finding them right now. Of course, it was us that told her, because we'd had this thing where, you know, we give each other little things on Valentine's Day. And then I realized, why would she have asked that? I mean, we're just in Target. Well, you guys all know why she asked, right? I said, honey, why do you ask? And she looks up and she goes, because there's hearts everywhere. And I was back in that zone where I'm like, you know, seriously? You always know when we're celebrating something because Target or Walmart will take care of it. I almost had the thought of going to the management and saying, would you guys mind if I give you the dates of my anniversary and my wife's birthday? Could you throw that up? Because I'm so programmed only to know about things now. If Target tells me, that would help if I walked in on a Tuesday and it said, celebrating Brooke's birthday in 3 weeks, buy a card, get a gift. I'd be like, oh, that's great, thank you. Of course, they won't do that because there's a lot of people with birthdays and that won't work. But, you know, as we walk into this month of celebrating love and you drive up to Mosaic and, you know, even here, we want to make sure this month is all about love. You know, we want to celebrate love. This question came into my mind this week. You know, what is love? I mean, we celebrate it, we feel it, we enjoy it, but really, what is it? I mean, Forrest Gump seemed to know what it was because he told us he did. He said, I know what love is. And all of us that have seen the movie kind of go, you know, he kind of did. I mean, he just loved Jenny no matter what. I mean, that's love, right? And so I started sitting back and going, I mean, if we're going to celebrate love in February, then we've got to first determine what on earth this thing is that we're celebrating. Then it dawned on me, before we even get into what we're celebrating and what love is, I thought to myself, you know, it's very interesting, this whole love thing, because if you talk about the church, if you talk about God's people, those who follow Christ, you start realizing that God, in His Word, keeps telling us we are supposed to be out there loving and celebrating love all the time, right? So now you start going, oh, wait a second. Now this is getting real important. It's not just about a month where we're going to celebrate the warm fuzzies. Now it's about God starting to say something. I was watching a video on YouTube this week. I don't know if you've heard about this video that Tom Cruise did on Scientology. I mean, you probably have because, you know, if you read any of the magazines, it's on there now. And so what happened is there's a Scientology meeting, and they get Tom Cruise as a big Scientologist, and they throw him up on the screen, and he does this whole celebration on Scientology. And somebody, of course, on this planet gets a hold of the video. I mean, I don't know how they do it. They beam him and steal it. I don't know. But they got a hold of it and posted it on YouTube. And it was an in-house thing, and so on YouTube it looks kind of silly and funny, and so they made this whole big joke out of it. So I went and tried to find the video because I'm just that way. I'm curious. I want to see. So I go and find Tom Cruise, and he's sharing about Scientology. And you know what was very interesting about the whole thing to me? As he's sharing about it, he says all these different things. One of the things he kept coming back to and kept repeating was this. He would say, you know, we need to be doing that because we are the authority on this issue. He kept saying that. He said, you know, Scientology is the authority on healing. Scientology is the authority on helping. Scientology is the authority on this, on that. And I thought to myself as I'm watching this, what an amazing thing to look at and to see. I mean, here it is, a guy standing up and saying, I want you to know that what I follow is the authority on everything humanity needs. There it is. I started thinking about what the church was the authority on, you know. Church, you know, the Christ followers. If I went out into the streets, you know, on a Friday night, and I walked around, and I said, "Hey, can I ask you a quick question? What is the church good at? I mean, what are they the authority on?" If you were going to, I bet some people would think about the Crusades and go, "Their authority on killing. They do that real well. They used to do it all the time." Or what about this one? Let's bring it right home. Oh, they are the authority on judgment. When you walk into a church, man, what you wear, what you say, what you do, how you look, who you look at, they're watching. They're great at that. You go, oh, okay, good. Yeah, the church is the authority on what? You know, you start answering that question. How about money? That one would come up, wouldn't it? Oh, the church is the authority on getting money from people. Oh, they're good. I mean, they're good. You're like, yeah, they are actually. Sorry about that. And then you go to the Word of God, and you start realizing that God starts telling us, you know what? You know what, you guys? When I called you together as a body, when I created the church, I want you to be the authority on many things. I want you to stand tall. And above all of those things, I want you to be the authority on love. There it is. You know that we are called as the church to be the authority on this planet of what love is. So I guess the big question on the table is, what is love? And if you were going to fill in the blank and I were to say, love is, just fill it in, where would you go? Start thinking about a couple words that might pop into your mind. You know that the Bible actually lays out a place, you've probably heard it, that it actually does just that. God comes to us and says, love is, and then he fills in the blank for us. You want me to show you where it is? Let me show you. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians. Grab your Bibles. I want you to actually page there and look at me because I ain't lying to you and I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because when you hear this, you're going to wish I was lying to you. I can tell you that. This definition is crazy. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't have a good Bible with you or a Bible with you, under our seats there's a bunch of Bibles. If you don't have a good Bible at home, by the way, please take one of our Bibles home with you, put your name in it, keep it for yourself. Okay, on page 798 of our Bibles, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in your Bibles, turn there. We are going to go to verse 4. I want you to follow along with me now, and I'm going to go slow because I want you to hear this. All right, you ready for this? Here it is. God's answer to love is, in the month of love, here it is. Love is, verse 4, patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps, you ready for this? No record of wrong. Half of us just went, oh, shoot. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. You know, when I read that the first time, I looked up at God and said, have you read this? Have you read this? This is insane. Would you call Paul up right now and have him fix this? I mean, seriously, who would be crazy enough to write something like this? I mean, you start off right off the bat. I mean, let's talk for a second, all right? You talk about the things in your life that are big. I don't know about you, but I can already tell you what mine are, okay? I start right off the gates if you say, Renaud, come on, big things in your life, you just battle. I mean, here, are you ready for this? Patience. There's a good one, patience. I mean, patience is tough. You know, impatience sits on my shoulder every day. And it whispers into my ear and it says, Renaud, I just want you to know, if you ever need me, I am available 24/7. I don't even take Christmas off. I am available on Christmas. You don't even need to call. Just turn your head to the left and blink twice. I'll be there. I mean, I'm waiting. And in fact, I live to serve you, Renaud. I'm ready. That's impatience. It's right here. Right on the other shoulder sits pride. Renaud, ooh, you're amazing. If you ever need me to tell you that again, I will. Amazing, Renaud. That's what you are. Amazing. You are better than anyone else. In fact, you deserve it all. Oh, and if you ever doubt that, you just call. Just turn your head to the right. Blink twice. I'll tell you again. Yeah. Yeah. How about selfishness? Ooh. He doesn't even sit on my shoulder. He just stands right in front of me, available all the time. You know, in fact, I'm not even going to be available. I'm just going to go ahead and do it for you, Renaud. You don't even have to think about it. You wake up in the morning, we'll just start right out the bat with unselfishness. Nope, we're not going to do that because I'm right here. I'm selfish. So there I sit, right? I start thinking about my life on a daily basis, people cutting me off in traffic, my wife coming into my life and telling me to do stuff, my kids screaming and shouting. I mean, there's a reason that I should feel all these things, right? I mean, I have the right to be all these things. And then God steps into the mix. And he goes, Bruno, listen, we're going to define love here. We're going to start right off the bat with this one. Love is patient. And I go, oh, man. Well, we're in trouble. Then God says, okay, listen, Bruno, stop for a second. Before you get ahead of yourself and you start going, okay, I'm glad that love is all these wonderful things, but I have no hope out there to handle this kind of responsibility. Because if this is what you're calling me to, we're crazy. And then God says, okay, let's just walk through this one. The first thing God always does when he walks into our lives and he calls us out into the authority of something, where he says, I want you to be the authority on this issue, God will always start out by demonstrating to us what that is. And in the Bible, there's no difference here. God starts out the bat by telling you that he has and continues to demonstrate to you and I what love is. We know this because in the book of Romans in chapter 5, he actually says it directly. He doesn't even mince words. In Romans chapter 5, you read that passage at some point. It is a wonderful passage about God's love and how he justifies us and saves us and rescues us. But he says this in Romans chapter 5. He says, I have demonstrated my love to you in this, that while you were my enemies, while you were sinners, while you were wicked, you fill in the blank, while you were evil, I paid for your ransom and for your life by dying for you. I gave all of who I was for someone who hated me. And Jesus says, I demonstrated my love for you that day. Then God whispers throughout the New Testament, I continue to demonstrate my love to you in this, that I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, or that all things will work out for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. So how about this one? I have come to give you life and to give it to you to the full. I mean, God constantly, the Spirit came, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. I mean, all over the place, God is shouting, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I am demonstrating my love to you in all that I do in your life. Everything that comes, it's to demonstrate your love. And then you start stepping into this definition, and God goes, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be real patient with you. I mean, if any of you guys here feel like God has never had a need to be patient with you, come and talk to me afterwards. Because I would love to hear about that. I'll explain to you my particular life and you'll see how much patience God needed just for me. And that was probably enough to cover all of you. God demonstrates his love for us all the time. Well, then God takes a step further, right? He starts by demonstrating his love for us, telling us what love looks like practically when he lives it out. And then he steps in from there and he says, now, that I have demonstrated my love for you and that you know my love. That's the part where we become Christ followers, where we realize the love of God and we say, I need you because you're amazing. Then we become a Christ follower and then God says, okay, now that you know my love and I've shown it to you, here's the deal. You ready? I am going to call you out and send you in to go and love the rest of the world in the same way that I just loved you. Because you've seen it now, you know it now, now I want you to go out and I want you to do it. So where does God tell us this? Okay, first of all, in the book of Matthew, in the very end of the book of Matthew, God says this, you guys probably all know this, he says, go into all of the world and be my witnesses, making disciples of all men and women, okay? That's the Great Commission is what we call it. It's where Jesus looked at his disciples and looked at all disciples that ever follow him and said, go into all the world and be my witnesses, making disciples of all people. Okay, so there it is. We need to be his witnesses and we need to make disciples. Those are the two things we're called to, right? So let's talk about that for a second. If you jump into the book of John and you go to John chapter 13, we bump into that beautiful story where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. Remember this? Totally throws them for a loop. He's washing their feet. It should be the other way around. They don't understand. The master is washing the servant's feet. It's not going to work. And then Jesus gets up in the midst of that and he says, listen, a new command I give to you. In John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, a new command I give to you. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And then he says this, you ready? He says, the world will know that you are my disciples
by your love for one another. So look what he's done. God has just packaged for us what it means to go and be his witnesses and to make disciples. He said, if you're going to be my witness, and that is the representation of who I am, the witness of Jesus Christ, then you are going to need to love one another, and you're going to need to love in extraordinary ways. You're going to need to become the authority on love, because when you love, that is what makes you the epitome of my disciple. That's how people are going to know that you are my disciple. And then if our next job is to make disciples, what does a disciple look like? Jesus just said it. They'll know that you're my disciple by what? By your love for one another. So we know that once we are capable of loving one another, at that point something miraculous has happened in our life and something else has taken place. Being a disciple of Christ is much more than just loving others. But the pinnacle of the results of everything that it means to be a disciple of Christ is that you begin to love everyone. You see, when you can love your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your friends, and your enemies in extraordinary ways through thick and thin, regardless of circumstance, then it tells them something about you and Christ and what's happened between the two of you. So the pinnacle of being a disciple is the magical moment where love becomes easy for you. Becomes something that's natural. It goes against everything that you are in the flesh. So we stand here and we go, okay, hold on a second, God. Whoa. First of all, you're telling me I got to get out there and love everyone. Well, I'm happy for you. Do you know what my house looks like? Have you been in my house lately? Do you know how hard it is when my kids are all over the place and when my wife is stressed out? Listen, you're welcome in any time. Then you tell me to my face I still need to love them. And then God goes, have you looked at your life lately? Did you see when I died for you? And I go, okay. And then God starts going, now let's talk about workplace. Have you ever gone into your workplace on a Thursday? It's been a long week. You're already frustrated. Deadlines are behind. Everything's going badly. You walk in. You don't feel like being there. And as you walk in the door, you see it. Your coworkers, they're there, and they're just as frustrated as you. And you know what happens in an environment like that, right? It just breeds frustration. So everybody's just on edge. And then, boom, things start blowing up, and you're there. And then on the way back home, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and boom, it's over there. And by the time you get home, and your wife is there, and your kids are there, you're just like, ah! That's never happened to me, by the way. But I just thought I would just tell you, I know it goes on in your lives. I'm just kidding. It happens to me all the time. And then in the midst of that, God says, listen, this is exactly why I showed you what love is and exactly why I called you. Do you think I would show you and call you if love was easy? Love is hard. It's hard as all get out. And then we say, well, when we walk out of here, God, if it's so hard and all these big words, patience, kindness, selfishness, they're all in there, then how on earth am I supposed to do it? And then God goes, oh, I got it. Don't worry. See, God tells us in his word, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, this is what he says. You ready? Jesus is on this planet. He's about to leave and go up into heaven, and he's doing the same thing he did in Matthew. It's the same moment. Matthew's telling it in Matthew, and here in the book of Acts, Luke is telling it. And Jesus says to his disciples, listen to this. You ready for this? He says, I will give you power to go into all the world and be my witnesses. He says, I will give you power to be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Isn't that a fascinating little word right there? God actually told us, you and me, Christ followers, do not for one second imagine that when you walk out into that great big world out there where everything's going to be shouting back at you not to love, that I will not give you the power to do what you're supposed to do. I already know it's hard. I already know you're weak. That's okay. Because when we become a Christ follower, God says we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. Do I get that whole deal? Come and ask me. I don't get it. I don't understand. You know, he's in me and it's powerful and it's amazing. But all I know is that the Bible says that he resides in my heart and he becomes my comforter and my strength and my power. You see, what God tells me as a Christ follower is that I already have everything I need right here in my life to be able to fulfill the call that he's called me to. And so I start going, are you telling me, God, that the second I know you, I am empowered to be an authority on love and to live out the definition of love in 1 Corinthians? And God goes, yes, he's smarter than he looks. And I go, okay, So how does this whole thing play out? And God goes, here's the deal, Renew. See, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you have the ability as a Christ follower to walk into a world of circumstance and to love like nobody's business. We haven't even talked about enemies yet. You know, God tells us to love our enemies, stabbed in the back. Oh, it's death. And God tells us, pull that little thing out, turn around and love him. And you go, look, I can't even love my wife well yet. How am I going to love my enemies? God goes, that's why you're going to become my disciple, because we're going to learn to love. And then God goes, okay, here's the deal. I have empowered you. So now for you, when you walk out of here, know this. When you walk into the same circumstances that all your coworkers are in, the same circumstances that your spouse is in, the same circumstances that your children are in, the same circumstances that your friends are in, the same stuff happens to all of us. Welcome to humanity. If you think when you become a Christ follower, life gets all easy, you're in for a wild surprise, because it doesn't. We live the same life everybody else does, with the same tragedies and the same tough circumstances and the same stuff that comes at us and the same temptations. The only difference between someone who knows Christ and someone who doesn't is that we already have the power in us to rise up above that, because the Holy Spirit says, I'm in you. And this is what God says. He says, there is nothing that is impossible for me, and I reside in you now. So what was impossible, to be patient, to be kind, to be selfless, to not boast, to not be proud, I mean, these are impossible tasks, now suddenly becomes possible for you and me because we have the Holy Spirit. And then God goes on to say, he makes it about us too, not just about him. He says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I mean, do you have any idea how powerful we could be as Christ followers? Not because we have to attain some secret or that we have to work for years to become some deep, mature person, but because God says, I've already done it for you. Wake up. Live like you're meant to live. You can do it. What you just need to remember is that I'm the one doing it in you and through you. So, okay, fair enough, Renaud. That's wonderful. I'm just so excited. God's shown me his love, and I'm called to love, and I'm empowered to love, and I'm going to walk right out these doors, and I'm going to have a fight with my wife in the car. I know. I get it. So here's the deal. We take one more step in this wonderful journey into celebrating love in February and becoming the authorities on love so we can stand feet planted head high and say, oh, God's people, the church, are the authority on love. God tells us in his word that when you have something you need, you ask, and he'll give it. So we go, oh, that's awesome. So we go to God and say, can I have a Ferrari? Red one? Really fast? Be cool. Oh, can I have a bank account that's secure and full that I never have to worry about finances? Oh, can I have a nice house that I can live in? Oh, God, save me from the trouble I'm about to walk into. These circumstances are so hard, I want you to take them away and make my life like a big, bright rainbow. That's the things we asked for. And God looks at us and he goes, man, I totally want to give you the Ferrari and the car and the money and all that kind of stuff. But you see, you have to understand something. I give you all that stuff, you die. Because you have no idea the power that is in those things. And there's a time and a place for those things. I mean, certainly there are people that have them. And some people have them and they are sucking them dry and killing them inside. And some people have them because they've gotten to a place with me that they really totally forgotten about those things and they can use them for purposes beyond their own. But it's a delicate line, folks. And you start getting too much of that stuff and you die. And I am not about to kill you. And we go, you hate me. You don't answer my prayers. Where's God? He's silent. And God goes, oh, man. When last have you walked into a circumstance? I mean, a big one. You know, you walk in. For me, you know, it's I walk into a moment in traffic where somebody cuts me off. Or I walk into my house and my wife has had to chase that one-year-old around all day long as he rips apart my house from top to bottom. And I see it in her eyes. She just goes, rescue me, please. I'm dying here. And I'm walking in the house going, I have needs. Why do you look so distraught? Why are you not sitting me down, telling me to relax and watch some football while you will take care of the kids? And it begins right there, doesn't it? You look at each other and you can both see it in each other's eyes and you both go, oh, this is going to be bad. See, when last have you stepped into a circumstance like that and you've looked up and you've said, God, listen, here's the deal, man. I'm about to have to love in a big way here. Impatience is shouting at me in the ear, I'm right here, I'm available, this is my moment. And I'm ready for impatience. And then, so here's what I need you to do, okay? I need you to dump patience on me. I mean like a bucket, like I want to be so dumped with patience that I just stand there, patient, not knowing what to do with myself. Whoa. And then I can look at my wife and go, honey, have you had a bad day? Let me take the kids. You go lay down. I'm not tired. I've got plenty of energy. I mean, don't you kind of go, oh, that'd be so cool. I mean, can you even begin to imagine what your marriage would start looking like if you just started suddenly being patient all the time? Imagine if your wife or your husband was like, I don't know what happened. She must be on drugs of some kind because she's patient all the time. What about kindness? Have you ever tried that one? Oh, God, that guy just cut me off. I'm about to do something. Dump it, God, dump it. Kindness, all of it, bring it. When last have you done that? You know what God says? God says that when you have need for the things that are impossible in your life, you ask me and I'll bring it. I'll bring it big time. I dare you to ask God for some patience on a regular basis this next week and see what begins to happen. I mean, it's a bit of a bummer at first because you still want to feel angry. I mean, you want to just get mad. And then you're all patient and you're like all confused. I'm patient, but I don't want to be. And then God goes, you see, we're getting it now. And then this beautiful thing begins to happen. The church, the authority of God on this planet, the authority on love, stops being here in this building and starts getting out there. You know, when you drove up, you saw little signs that said, feel the love at Mosaic. And we put those up not so you could come here on a Sunday and feel a warm and fuzzy here, although certainly we're glad you do and we hope you do. But we put those up so that as you leave this place, you would be able to start saying, oh my gosh, listen, I am Mosaic Church, just so you know, I'm a Mosaic Church. And I'm going back to my 6.5 days in the world, and I'm going to make sure that people say, oh, I feel the love at Mosaic Church. I'm going to make sure that in my home, when people walk in and see my marriage, that they are just blown away by what they see. My children, when they see them and the way I deal with them, they don't know what to do with me. They're like, in my workplace. Can you imagine the opportunities there to demonstrate love and to be all these amazing things in 1 Corinthians and just to walk in and people just sit in the lunchroom and they're talking, I don't know what his problem is, man. I mean, have you seen that guy? I mean, you could throw a truck at him, and he's patient. I don't get it. There's something wrong here. And as you walk in there, I go, hey, what's going on? And then as they drive home, each of them thinks to themselves, you know, I bet if something happens to me and I go to him, he'll take care of me. And they start knowing. They feel the love of the church of God in all of the world. Your neighbors, when last have your neighbors felt your love in tangible ways? When last have you stepped out and said, oh, you want to see love? Watch this. So as we walk out of here, as we leave this place, in the month of February, when the rest of the world celebrates love and they don't even have a clue what it is, we, on the other hand, are the authorities on this issue. And we know exactly what love is. It is patient. It is kind. It is not self-serving. It is not rude. It is not boastful. It doesn't keep records of wrong. It always protects. It always perseveres. It always hopes. It always trusts. Oh, we are the authority. And we've been empowered to live out that authority. So don't you dare walk out of here like me and go, oh, I just can't do it. Just can't do it. Because then God will whisper back at you and go, oh, you apparently don't know what I can do in you. You ask, and you watch what happens. May your love open the doors to a freedom in your life that you've never seen before. May your love open the doors to a freedom in your friends' lives, in your lover's life, in your children's lives, in all that you do. May it open the doors so that your spouses, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, all of them feel the love as you demonstrate what God can do through you. And then we will start tasting what it means to be the church. February awaits, folks. let us celebrate love together the way God intended us to. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for calling us out to love the way you've loved. And thank you most of all for empowering us through your Holy Spirit to fulfill the call that you've called us to. May we take that seriously. May we call on you regularly, asking for you to dump love all over us. May you rise up in us, God, when all those horrible little demons rise up in our minds and start going, I'm impatient, I'm selfish, I'm ready. May you rise up and help them to take a day off so that you can be with us and empower us to live lives that love extraordinarily in all the little things. God, we know our love does not have to be big. It can be small, but when we love, it will come out real big and real loud. May we love big, may we love loud in all of the small, simple things we do to demonstrate to others that you love us, that you want to love them, and that you've called us to love. God, for your sake we love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.